Welcome back to the Midday Show here on 98.1 KZE. And it's my pleasure to introduce Julie Greenberg to the show. And I'm going to have to say, by way of disclaimer, that Julie and I have known each other for 40 years.
We have.
Except
yikes.
The second half, I haven't seen you very much, but we have a long history. I just want to read that you co-directed a film with Diana Dilworth.
Yep.
Called Dory Previn, On My Way to Where. The Triplex Cinema is thrilled to announce a special screening on Saturday, August 17th of Dory Previn, On My Way to Where, which celebrates the life of the late Berkshire singer-songwriter, followed by a talk back with my guest today, Julia Greenberg, and the film's animator, Emily Hubley. The film, which recently premiered at South by Southwest, used vibrant archival footage together with artful animation to illustrate the complicated and creative life and work of Dory Previn. Tickets are available at the Triplex website right now. Julia Greenberg is a singer-songwriter and now documentarian. Greenberg has written the music for off-Broadway hits People Are Wrong and Cave Dweller, and has released two albums of original music. Greenberg interprets the music and has curated the archives of Dory Previn, driven to share the magic of this underknown genius with the world. Can I guess, Julia, that perhaps your musical background as a songwriter led you to discover Dory Previn at some point? Can I then also make the connection that you probably thought, why don't more people know who she is? Not only is her songwriting outstanding, but her life story is riveting and needs to be known. Is that possibly play into your decision to make this documentary?
Yeah. I mean, I heard one of her songs in my friend's car on a mixed CD and immediately was just struck silent, and figured this was, you know, maybe 2008, that she was some young, brilliant, anti-folk up-and-coming star who was playing with the form. But when I Googled the lyric, which is always an interesting thing to do with a Dory song, because all of her lyrics are completely unique, I found this woman who just was sort of right under the surface of so many parts of our culture and was shocked that I didn't know her. So that's how it happened.
And before you launched into this project, though, had you made any films before?
Oh, goodness, no. That was not even in my wildest imagination. But I began interpreting her music. And the reason why it's so exciting to be at the Triplex is I sent a copy of, I sent a recording of my songs to Dory when she was still with us, and her husband, Joby Baker, the painter, who they live in Southfield, Massachusetts, in the Berkshires. And they approved of my interpretations and wanted to understand more my interest in Dory's work. So I came to the Berkshires and met Dory and Joby and became friends with both of them, and have since been helping the family organize her archives. And it was only when I saw what was in the archives that I kept saying to all my creative friends, you wouldn't believe it. There's this letter, there's this video, there's this recording. And then finally, Diana Dilworth, who is a documentarian, said, we have to make this movie. And that's how it all started.
And then it gets into South by Southwest, which is pretty fantastic. You had to kind of pinch yourself, I'm sure.
Yeah, the whole thing, really everything to do with my journey with Dory Previn. I mean, I pinched myself when Dory called me from the parking lot of the post office saying, I like your interpretation. So since then, Dory has been this kind of guiding creative force for me. And yes, getting into South by Southwest and working with an incredible all-women team of creative people to make the film has just been a delight.
Yeah. Speaking of which, all-woman team, is it possible the reason why, playing devil's advocate here, why Dory wasn't as well known as she should have been, according to your film, was she was sort of in the shadow of Andre Previn, her husband, among other men that run the industry, all the industries she was part of?
Yes, I think that's definitely part of it. Although I would give some props to Andre, who recognized her lyrical abilities and said, you know, when they were partnered by the great Arthur Freed, the producer of Singing in the Rain, put them together as MGM composers. He did recognize her ability, and they wrote some amazing songs together. The scandal that ensued is laid out in the film, and everybody should come see it, but it does include somebody named Mia Farrow. But also, the reason she was ignored, I think, is to do with her extremely forward-thinking views on mental health. She talked very openly about her lived experience of mental illness. She talked about misogyny. She talked very straightforwardly about sexuality, gender, and all of these things. I think make her ripe for rediscovery right now, but really scary for the male-dominated music industry back in the 70s.
Well, I've been talking to Julia Greenberg, who is co-director of Dori Previn on My Way to Where, which is going to be having a one-time screening on Saturday, August 17th at 4 p.m. at the Triplex Cinema in Great Barrington. Julia will be there with the film's animator, Emily Hubley, and there'll be a talkback. So I urge people to check out Dori Previn's music and then go see this film in this one-time screening. And I'm excited. I hope to be there myself and have a reunion. Julia, where did your love of music start? When did it start?
Were
Just
there
put you on
touch
the
points?
spot.
Well, I had a musical theater loving mom, who, we had as much Oklahoma and Carousel playing in the house as Stevie Wonder and Neil Young. So that is also a reason why I love Dory so much, because she is the unique figure in American music who crossed over from classic musical songwriting to singer songwriting in the
That's
70s,
right.
so
Right.
from
That's
the
a
MGM
not
system to the Laurel Canyon scene. So she
right.
and you really feel that in her music. So that is why it resonated so much with me. But yes, childhood, and of course Camp Thoreau, where
I
I
don't know what that
learned
you're
how to
talking about.
play guitar and sing Cowgirl in the Sand with people like Adam Chartoff.
Yeah, that's a good memory. I love singing with you. I was thinking, when I was watching that part of the film, how she kind of transitioned from Broadway and score or soundtrack, let's say, film and writing for the movies and whatnot. As you said, the singer-songwriter era, how it, in a way, parallel Carole King, even though Carole King came from the Brill Building and from that type of songwriting, but she also kind of with Tapestry, that album, sort of had the same experience where she went from being a songwriter to putting herself up front as the performer,
Absolutely. I mean, that's the closest
Parallel.
comparison, except for the Brill Building was still firmly in pop, right? Whereas the MGM studio is still in sort of the American songbook. But yes, lots of similarities. And I do have to say here that my mom went to Madison High School in Brooklyn with Carole King, then Klein. But yeah, I mean, I compare her I mean, there's connections with Carole King, but also I think her music really resonates with the Randy Newmans and Harry Nielsens
I would
of
say
the
you're right.
world as well. Yeah, who first of all had that humor and parody, which Dory had, but also both, had really leaned on sort of classic song to influence their writing.
Well, I invite you into my podcast so we can have a longer conversation. And then what I can do is I could put it on our website's audio archive page as for people can enjoy maybe a little bit more of a nuanced conversation with you and me and our conversation about Dori Previn on My Way to Where. Again, Saturday, August 17th at 4 p.m. at the Triplex Cinema in Great Barrington. Thank you, Julia.
My pleasure. Great to be here.